welcome to a new episode of Routes Through Pokemon. I'm Grass Trainer Shaylock.
I'm Water Trainer Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter team journeying through the Pokemon video game series, the anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And this week we are on Route 20. And since we only tackled one gym last week, you got back-to-back game episodes as we work our way to Brock and beyond. But before we get into it, let's catch up on what's been going on. Allergy season's here, and it's really fun.
It's not been that bad.
Well, it hit hard one day, and then I was sick the next few days. I think I'm on the mend now. But I still have a cough from gunk being clogging up things and stuff, so.
Just suck it up, Buttercup.
Although, you know, it's not as bad as what you have going on.
Gotta take a bunch of disgusting medicines now.
Yeah, now you found out that you have things just living inside your gut that.
Found out or confirmed?
Well, anyway, you got strep living inside you that isn't getting killed off like it's supposed to.
And now I have to take disgusting medicine morning and night and pills.
So that's fun. But that explains why, you know, you've been sick a lot lately. I mean, like, on a regular pattern, I guess.
Yeah. I almost got sick before, but then I just take a bunch of the disgusting medicine, and then I'm all better!
Woohoo!
Uh-huh. It's so gross!
Yeah, but it's better than being sick for a week or so. What else has been going on? We played a little bit more Scarlet and Violet. Not a lot. We went to go take on a... Now that we could climb, we went to take on a Team Star, but found out that their stuff was at, like, level 50 and higher, and things don't obey us past level 50 right now, supposedly. So we decided we'd tackle a gym first, and we headed towards the ice gym, but I'm having a feeling that might also be higher, so we might need to find the other one that's up in the mountains. I don't know.
And it's really hard, because I keep getting lost.
Yep. But we're currently saved right outside the ice gym.
And then there was a snowstorm that I couldn't figure out which way was which. Because I'd figured out the mountain path, but then there was this little cliff apparently you could fall off, and then you would be, like, still kind of on it. But there was a snowstorm, so I couldn't see anything, which was really annoying.
And I'm playing on my Switch 2 now, so things run super smooth as far as the graphics and Pokemon being able to be seen and stuff, which has been really fun. How did it look compared to your games when you guys were playing on your stuff?
I don't think it was terribly different. It looked maybe a little smoother.
It feels a lot smoother. You should try playing it. Okay. See, like, play yours a little bit and then play that one. See how it feels.
Okay.
But also, I was playing on our new giant screen TV that I got from my dad because his stuff got passed on to me and my brother, so...
It's huge. It's like, how tall is it? 100 feet?
It's not 100 feet.
Okay, maybe it's like a 7x7 foot.
I don't remember how big the TV is, but it's definitely bigger than I've ever thought I would have as
a TV.
I
think it's like 5 feet tall and 7 feet wide. That seems about right.
No, actually, I think the width is like close to 5 feet or something. So if you laid it on its side, like put it on its side, then it would be, you know, almost just... tall as me, like maybe a foot shorter or something.
You're not 6 feet.
No, but I think it might be four or something.
Oh.
No, I am not 6 foot.
I'm like, you are much shorter than that.
And it might not be a full foot shorter than that. I don't know. I don't remember. I want to say it's like how the way you measure TVs, you go from one corner to the other or whatever. And so I want to say it's like 80-something, like 84 inches or something.
I was just going across and up and down.
Yeah, but the way you say a screen-size TV, like, because they usually just use one number, and so that you go from one corner to the other.
Oh, that would make sense. That
yeah.
Sense.
So, yeah.
It's big in any case.
It's been fun. It came with, like, a sound bar and a little bass boost thing, so watching movies and things on there has been enjoyable.
For sure.
In fact, every week... My wife and I have like a kind of a date night in, and we usually are in a room, which also has a decent sized TV in it.
Yeah, it's not small, but it's not as big as this.
Yeah. And we usually play a little It Takes Two as we're working our way through that game. But last night, We decided to have date night in the main living space, and so we could use the giant TV. Yep. School's about to start.
Yeah.
For those listening, it's been running for a month and a half now. I don't know.
When's this air?
October sometime.
Then most of them have done more than a month. Because some are already in
school. Yeah, it might be more like 2 months, actually. Yeah. I think this is coming out in October. I don't remember.
If this comes out sometime in October, you've been doing school for like 2 months.
We're trying to keep ahead on a lot of this stuff, because we had our summer break, but we also wanted to, which we built a little bit before the end of summer. But then, with the baby coming in October and the holidays coming, we're just trying to get things all squared away and ready so that when the new year comes, we can jump into Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald and all that.
It can't be the new year yet!
I mean, we'll have probably played a little bit of it before the new year so that we have the episodes ready for the new year, but...
Hey, we get spoilers.
So yeah, I think that might be about it. So with that out of the way, it's time to dive into our journey in Pokemon Gold, Silver, and Crystal. So, we had the power up and running, and we beat Misty. And so it was time to go back to the radio tower in Lavender Town to see if we could get our expansion card to get the Kanto radio stations on our radio. And the director was thrilled that we got his, you know, radio station up and running again, that he was very happy to give it to us. And with that card, what did we gain access to? Specifically, what channel do we get?
Oh, Pokemon, like, Wakey Uppy?
The Pokeflute channel.
Pokeflute channel!
The Wakey Uppy. Hilarious.
I mean, basically, yeah.
So, we decided to head to Snorlax. And I flew to Vermilion, I think, and went in that direction, while you just went south of Lavender Town and came in from the east. But we both... So we met Snorlax on opposite sides of him. And it took a little figuring out, but we figured out how to get the radio station playing. So when you go back to the main screen, that music is still playing instead of whatever's supposed to be playing there, which is kind of cool. And, yeah, then we talked to Snorlax and he woke up. And I know that I had to retry him. Did you? I thought you were going to have to, but you got him, that's right. But you were like, oh yeah, I'm probably going to have to restart or whatever, but then you didn't. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, I had to restart, but I got back in there, and we caught our Snorlax so that we could go into Diglett Cave finally, which is our only way to get to the other side of Kanto.
I don't like caves. This cave was so long. Ridiculously.
It was not that long.
It was like 20 steps.
But we caught our Diglets. And then later on traded with our old games to get Dugtrios. And on the other side of Diglett Cave, we explored all the area that was still locked in by the trees that can be cut. So there was like a little house to talk to some people, and we went south a bit and stuff. But we purposely didn't cut the trees to go into that other part of the route until we went back up to the top and wandered in the grass up there right below Pewter City. Which, what did we find in that grass?
We were looking in. I forgot.
Pika Pika!
Yeah! We found Pichu.
Pikachu.
Well, I found Pichu because I'm just that lucky.
Definitely didn't. I don't even think you can find the babies in the wild. You have to breed for them. Which?
If you're you.
Which I did. For us.
Oh, yay! I have a Pichu, guys.
Actually, you don't. I only bred one and then traded it all around.
I don't have a picture.
Anyway, so after getting our Pikachu, we went up north to Pewter City, and we found that the doors of the museum are just gone. They have no doors to the building anymore.
Just gone.
So I don't know if they just made it so only ghosts are allowed to visit the museum now or what, but... We also found something else. You remember what guy we found there, or what interesting person we found?
When we were in the back, no.
No, in Pewter City, before the gym.
No, I don't remember.
There was an old guy on the outs near the route that leads out of Pewter City towards Mount Moon, the one that in the past would have probably just given us a tour to the gym like it did in Red and Blue. But he's like, oh yeah, I've traveled all over Johto and all this stuff. Like, he was a well-traveled trainer who was old, and he had gotten an item. For me, he gave me the rainbow wing.
Oh, and I got the silver wing!
Yeah, and so then I was thinking...
He was inside the temple?
Okay, what?
I thought you said he was inside someplace. I thought he was outside.
He was in Pewter City, and there isn't a temple. What temple?
No, not temple. Museum?
We couldn't get in the museum. There was no doors.
I know. That's why I was confused. So he wasn't in a building. I thought you said he was in a building.
No, he was on the outside, like right by the exit to Pewter City to go towards Mount Moon, in the same place that a tour guide gave us a tour back to the gym.
That's what I thought. But you...
That's what I just said. I thought
you said it was in a building. But you didn't, so that's fine. Never mind.
But you mean that's what I thought. I literally said those words.
No, I just thought that's what I heard. But it's not what you said.
Okay. Anyway. So he gave us those, and then I was thinking when I came back in Crystal later that he'd give me both. And he didn't. He just gave me the silver wing.
I thought that he wouldn't, but you were sure that he would.
Well, I had to get him somewhere. Yeah, I thought he was going to give me both, but then I realized, oh yeah, I met Eucene in Celadon City, and he said, hey, you need to catch the three legendary beasts. So I realized, we traded those all around, so I have all the beasts registered. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'll just go to Eucene later, and then I'll get the Rainbow Wing so I can get both. That did not go as smoothly as I thought. But that's later. So we go into Brock's gym, and it was harder than last time. It was really, really challenging. I think there was like one trainer in there, and he knocked me down quite a bit, so I had to heal first, and then we took on Brock, and I was surprised I made it. I didn't think I was going to make it. Okay, I'm kidding. Brock's gym was a piece of cake. Leafy just tore through everything.
I had a little struggle, but it wasn't that hard.
Well, you had your water Pokemon.
Yeah, mine too. Was harder than last time, because
but
I
you
didn't
had...
do it like that. Instead of going like that, I did like...
And he had the fossil Pokemon, didn't he? Like, he had, like,
yeah,
Omastar so. And Kapootops?
Kapoops. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And an Onix, of course, I think.
Yeah, of course.
So then, we already finished a gym, so I was like, well, we could maybe do another gym or something, but we wanted to do some other stuff first, like explore the path to Mount Moon, since that was our way there. And we also wanted to try out the Magtrain eventually. To try to go to Johto. And Route 3, which leads to Mount Moon, was pretty normal. And just with some trainers and everything. Like, nothing was too bizarre. But we did find two of the trainers were the new Fire Breather trainers. One who even claimed to be the best Fire Breather in the land. Just not a very good Pokemon trainer.
At least he's good at his job.
Yeah. And then, when we get up to where the Pokemon Center was, right outside the entrance to Mount Moon, that was where the best fire trainer was, and there was just rock there. There was no more Pokemon Center.
There's no more Pokemon Center?
Yeah, not right outside of Mount Moon, like there was in Red and Blue and Yellow.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really, because that was where that Magikarp salesman was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was really shocked by that. So then we go into Mount Moon. And I kind of expected it to not look quite like Mount Moon from before, just because they made Victory Road so much easier and other things. So, and it truly was. Mount Moon was much easier than before. But before we could find that out, we were met by somebody right inside Mount Moon.
Dun dun dun! I remember who it was.
So, like before. When we finished the radio tower in Goldenrod City, and the guy at the top of the tower is like, oh, you've totally vanquished us, we're done. I'm like, I think we're done with Team Rocket. Like, it seemed like we were completely done. And then we met that weird guy that broke the power plant. And then he was like, oh, Team Rocket's already beat, never mind, and then he was done. So now I'm very confident we're done, but I was wrong, right? I was wrong before. I thought we were done with Team Rocket, and then we had a Team Rocket guy to deal with. What?
Who?
The guy that broke the power plant.
Oh, I see.
I thought we were done after Goldenrod City Radio Tower, and then that guy shows up. So I was like, oh, I guess I was not correct about being done with Team Rocket. Well, I made another claim after Victory Road, where I'm like, we're about to do the Elite Four, so everything after this is is post-game stuff anyway, and so we're going to have beat the main part of the game, and we just finished our rival, so I'm like, he's not going to be the end boss, which he wasn't. It was Lance. Like, he was the champion now, you know? And I'm like, I think we're done with the rival. I don't think we're going to have to fight him anymore. And here I was proven wrong.
See, you're like, I'm going to get both the wigs. No, you're not. And then you didn't. Yes. We're not going to fight the rival again. I'm pretty sure we are. And then we did.
Yeah.
I think what we learned from this is always listen to Ruby.
I think the most thing we can learn from this is I remember the details of the past really well, and so you can believe me there. But if I'm predicting the future, I'm not so great.
I predict the future.
So anyway, our rival's there. He challenges us. He really wasn't all that hard, and he had learned his lesson. Like, he wasn't a jerk anymore. And he's like, well, I'm going to go train some more so I can be better. Which, that's perfectly fine. I'm okay with that.
Props to you, man.
And then, yeah, Mount Moon was much smaller this time around. And you took one direction, I took a different, which landed me into the Mount Moon Square, which had a building, but there was, like, nobody there. There's no trainers in Mount Moon either, and there's nobody in this building. It was all empty, but we were playing at night, and I later learned that showing up at day that there were people inside and you could buy some stuff.
Yeah, it was a really short cave.
Something, though, that I think I might need to investigate further, and I've been trying to since we played that, is that people around Mount Moon, and even somebody in the Mount Moon Square building, was like, Clefairy are said to come out at night, but only certain nights, which is why they weren't there before. So I think we have to go to the Mount Moon Square on a specific night.
Like a certain day of the week, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe at a certain moon cycle.
Right, but I don't think it tracks moon cycles in our game. It just...
Oh.
So I think it is a specific day, and so I've been trying, and I've been failing, but now I realize that it... Of course I know what day it's supposed to be, and I haven't tried it that night yet.
Why?
Moon's Day. Monday.
Oh, I thought it was Tuesday. Monday!
Yeah, because Sunday is literally Sunday, and Monday is from Moon's Day.
Ooh.
So I bet you they're going to show up on Monday night.
So we got to do it on Monday.
Yeah, so we'll have to investigate that. So we still have to do that. We still have to do all the trades with the old guy, Bill's grandpa, and the sea cottage. There's a couple things we still got to do. Anyway, on the outside of Mount Moon, there's a bunch of trainers out on that route and a secret item that I found. I'm not even using the item finder just because I expected to find it there. And that was all pretty easy. So then it was time to head to Saffron City to try out the mag train, finally. But apparently you need a pass for the mag train, and we didn't have one.
Nope.
However, talking to people inside, they keep mentioning how the copycat girl used to live in that spot, and they had to move.
And I was like, oh great, that's a nice fact. Bye.
I was pretty sure it was a hint.
Then Daddy's like, go back there.
So we did, and we find out that she was given a pass when they were made to move, and she will give it to us if we can find the Pokemon... The Pokemon doll that she lost in Vermilion City.
Very sad about this.
Now, this is all interesting because if we didn't go to the Radio Tower in Lavender Town to get our expansion card to deal with Snorlax right off the bat, if we tried to take the mag train right away, now that it was running, this would have led us to the Copycat Girl, which would have led us to Vermilion City, which would have reminded us of the Snorlax to make, oh, how do we move him and remember the Radio Tower stuff. So, like, the game was very good at, like, trying to, like, put clues and put you in places where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Because we have a very free-roaming area now, so... Anyway. So, yeah, we go to Vermilion City. You were ahead of me at this point, doing a lot of this.
Well, yeah.
Because I was driving while you were playing, I think.
Yeah. So that you could help me
Yeah. And you're like, I've talked to everybody. There's nobody, like, nobody gave me anything. I'm like, did you go to the Pokemon fan club, though? And you're like, I don't remember seeing the fan club. And because you had totally missed a street somehow.
I thought I got in every building. It's like, there's no doll.
So sure enough, somebody in the Pokemon fan club who really wanted a Clefairy had the Pokemon doll. And when he learned that it belonged to somebody else, he readily gave it back.
And he was so sweet. I loved
him. And so we returned the doll, we got our pass, and we can take the mag train to Johto!
Pokemon Johto.
And then once we're back in Johto, we go our separate ways again. You go to the Whirl Islands, and I go to Ecruteak. And you didn't do all the Seafoam, the Whirl Islands.
Oh, I was so sad when I had to go to the islands. I was like, no.
But I just told you which island to go to and which direction to go.
Yeah. And so it was, like, really easy.
I led you right to them, which was helpful. But also, that means you didn't get, like, all the items. You didn't explore the whole area, which is fine. You did get yourself a seal and horsey eventually, though.
Yeah.
So that was very good. Because I had got those ages ago in that area. So we could finally trade those around. But yeah, then you go through the waterfall and you go into his little cave and you had to get Lugia. How did that go?
So I go in there and Daddy's like, Daddy thought they were going to be the same level as before.
Oh, yes, I did.
I thought they were going to be higher. Maybe not a lot. So I was like, I thought maybe a little higher. They were a lot higher. And so I get in there and he's like, I don't know if we're actually going to catch these right now. We might have to wait till later. I was like, I'll try a couple of times. I had, like, the wrong Pokemon in front, and it didn't seem great. And then I didn't even have to try again. I just caught my Lugia.
Of course you did.
It was so easy.
That was easy. How easy was it to find a name for him?
Pretty easy.
Why don't you tell us about that?
So I was looking for a name, and I was like Wave, maybe, but... And in Japanese, that's Nami. I was like, that would be too close to, like, my Blastoise I had before. And so I was looking, like, Big Wave, because it's a big, like, kind of like water Pokemon. And so I looked up what's Tsunami in Japanese.
Because a tsunami is a big wave, right?
But it is Japanese.
Yeah, you didn't realize Tsunami was a Japanese word.
And it even has a Japanese word in it. Nami, which means wave.
Yep.
So Tsu is the big part of it.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
But its name is Tsunami.
Yes. Meanwhile, I needed to do my part in catching Entei in Silver. And you were going to help me with that, so I could maybe use my Master Ball. But, you only had a little bit of time, and it didn't work out while you had that time. So I go looking for my Entei. And I spent a fortune on Max Repels so that I could just encounter what I needed to. And I encountered Suicune like 4 times and eventually caught it and named it River. Even though I didn't need to catch it because we could just trade everything around. And I ran into Raikou for the first time because I had never run into Raikou or Entei in Silver. So this is all like just guesswork on like finding where the legendary Pokemon are roaming because I can't track them yet. When I finally did find Entei, though, I, of course, just masterballed the sucker right away and moved on to Tintower. Because I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. And so, yes, that made it so we could trade all of our legendary beasts and get all the Pokedex entries in there. And knowing that I still also needed to get Lugia and Ho-Oh in Crystal, like I had to get both legendary birds, I didn't have tons of time to try to do everything I needed to do in these games, and I realized I needed even more time later. And so I still had Max Repels left for looking for those. So I Max Repelled my way through the Tin Tower. That made it much faster, doing all the jumps. The Tin Tower to go get Ho-Oh in Silver?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wait, that was the Tin Tower? That was a different tower.
Burn Tower and Tin Tower.
Oh.
And we found out the Burn Tower used to be like Bronze Tower or something.
Did you like all the little jumps in there?
Yeah, it was actually really easy. And also, I have re-listened to some of the episodes, including the one that you were in there recently.
I don't want to hear about it.
And you were whining about the teleporting pads and how challenging they were. Piece of cake.
No, because it was going to get more confusing because I already had all the little jumps and I had to remember which way was which. And then they teleported! teleported me. I was like, what the heck? How am I supposed to remember this? It wasn't...
I remembered it just fine.
Like, do you remember me having difficulty after I found out the teleporting pads existed? Or just thinking I was going to have difficulty?
You complained about it.
Yeah, like I was going to have...
No, difficulty. You complained about it on air, having difficulties with the teleporting pads.
Whatever.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was easier than you thought it was going to be, and it was just you were.
Yeah, I'm just amazing. And you suck.
Yep. I don't know. I don't suck. I ran them really easily, and I think made sure to go through all of them to get extra items and go back and stuff.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Oh yeah,
I had to get out of there.
I also had the max repel, so I didn't have to worry about battles. That makes it a lot easier, especially if I was you or your mother, because you guys can never remember even what you were doing after a battle.
That's not all the time,
Jim. I know.
If I like had to pause in the middle and go do something, I have no clue which way I was facing.
Yes.
Like, sometimes I forget I'm in a battle and I try to catch a Pokemon. Then they're like, you can't catch other people's Pokemon. I'm like, fine. I won't.
So, yes, I get up there. I go to Ho-Oh, and I think it took me a couple tries, but I got Ho-Oh.
Because you had to get it because I got Lugia.
Yes, I had to do it. And he was level 70. And I looked it up, and I think they were like level 40 or something the first time we fought them.
Okay.
But then, of course, you can't get to them again until after the Elite Four. And so they're like, yeah, now it's time to raise those levels for the second Pokemon.
Yeah, I was pretty sure they were going to be raised a bit.
I did not expect that. Anyway, I got them. It wasn't too bad. It was kind of nice that they were higher level so that like I wouldn't just kill them instantly, although I did accidentally kill one the first time, which is why I had to try a second time. I got a critical hit or something. It was ridiculous.
Redonkulous.
Yeah. So, once Ho-Oh was caught, I returned to a Pokemon Center so we could do all the trading and stuff and get Crystal all checked off on the Legendary Beast. And then I played Crystal through, you know, Brock and the train, like the rival battle and Mount Moon and all that fun stuff. And then I go talk to Yusin to go get my rainbow wings since I've registered Raikou Entei and Suicune now. And he doesn't give it to me because he still's like, hey, you know, now that you have Suicune, you should try to catch Raikou and Entei. And even when you just catch one of them, you should come talk to me. And I'm like, but I... So I looked it up, and you have to actually catch them in the game. You can't even just have a physical one from another game to count, you like, with you at the time. You have to catch them in the game. So begins my long journey to go get Raikou and Entei. But I didn't want to do that right off the bat, so I go to the Whirl Islands first and go catch my Lugia, as well as a Horsea and Seal. But I can't get Ho-Oh yet because I can't get the Rainbow Wing yet until I get those stupid legendary beasts. And my Lugia was like, I don't know, level 60 or something. I think both my legendaries were like level 60.
That seems fair.
In Crystal. So anyway, trying to catch those jerks was some of the most frustration I've had playing the Pokemon games. I eventually learned a trick that helped me encounter them more often, because they refused to ever come toward me when I would fly around or walk into other areas. They were always, like, running away. And the worst part, though, was the game, I think, cheated.
Oh!
And I don't usually make such accusations, because I think that's silly. Games usually don't do things like that. Like, they can't.
Unless it's against me, they always cheat.
But everything I looked up, everywhere, tells me that the legendary beasts don't move until you've encountered them, or you've moved into another area, like an off to from one route to another, a route into a town, from the over like from the screen like a town or whatever into a building, any of those things. Or if you fly, then they'll move. All of those things will make them move, and flying makes them like move randomly, where. Walking from one area to another, they usually only move like one space, quote unquote.
Oh, interesting.
Now, space sometimes seems to skip a space because they don't go into a town or anything, you know. So they have, and they might move one way or the other, but they move one space, basically. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I'll just wander around that area that they're in. I won't even max repel because supposedly battles don't matter. And so there was a couple times I was in the same area as Raikou. I'm running around fighting Pokemon after Pokemon after Pokemon after Pokemon after Pokemon for a long time. And then I'm like, why haven't I found Raikou yet? And then I look and he's not there. He's in another spot. I'm like, what? So did I look at it the first time when I thought they were there? Or what? Or was it because I fought battle and they just move? And I didn't realize that might be a thing. I don't know. And so then the next time it happened, I would check after every battle and he would still be there. I would run from a battle, or like Growlithe would roar me away from a battle and see if that did it. And he wouldn't move necessarily on those. But then after a while of battling random Pokemon, all of a sudden he was in a different route. And I'm like, what the heck? So Entei didn't seem to do that. And I got him first, eventually. And I think I'd run into him once before, because I'd run into Pokemon before, which made it easier to track him. And Entei was already, like, at red health, because I'd beat him up bad the first time I saw him or something. Mm-hmm. So that made him easier to get overall. I also took the Jinx route, since I had a Gengar that didn't have Mean Look. And so Jinx has the Sweet Kiss that can put him to sleep, and Mean Look when I leveled her up. And so she was my go-to to keep these Pokemon in place. And I did kill Raikou once, so I had to reload at one point.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because I got, like, a crit hit with my move. And that was kind of annoying, since he was the most difficult to catch. And then I started spending all my money on, like, repels and stuff, so I would at least not run into other Pokemon when I'm trying to find Raikou, since he likes to cheat. And it took me hours. All day. I think it took me all day to catch Raikou. But I got him. I finally got him.
Raikou.
Oh, and after Entei, I did talk to Yusin again, and he didn't say anything different, even though he said, like, once you catch one of those, come talk to me. But once I got both of them, I talked to him, and he's like, all right, I'm going to head back to Ekrateek. I'm like, sweet. So then he didn't give me a Rainbow Wing yet, actually, but he said I'm going to Ekrateek. So I go to Ekrateek. I go into the Tin Tower, and the monks are hanging out in the back of the tower, and one of them gives me the Rainbow Wing, and then stairs magically appear, and so I'm able to go up into the tower and then, you know, do the same path that I did before in Silver to get up to Ho-Oh. And once I catch Ho-Oh, I go back down to the bottom floor where the monks were, and Yusin's there to congratulate me and all that stuff. And then he's like, now I'm going to do a lot more research. I loved researching these, and I'm going to become a true Pokemaniac. So looks like he's going to get the Pokemaniac trainer now instead of Mystical Man.
Mystical Pokemaniac.
So yeah, that was cool. And then, yeah, then I spent some time breeding Pokemon that we caught so we could get some of our missing babies, like Pichu and...
Our missing babies?
Yeah, I forget which ones they were. Pichu, Elekid, I feel like there was one more. Oh, maybe it was. It was only the two babies I got, because we don't have a Magmar yet. And I did also evolve my Chansey into a Blissey, and because I don't want to have everybody have to just keep doing all these stupid friendship ones. And I spent a lot of money on that, too, making me very broken in Crystal, even though I'd beat the Elite Four so many times in that game. And so I got Blissey, and I traded that around so everybody could have that. And then I also I bred Omastar to get Omanyte, because I already did that with Kabuto Ups to get Kabuto. And so now I traded that one around, so we all have that in our registry. And speaking of, I think that brings us to our Pokedex entries.
Who's that Pokemon?
Pichu, Tiny Mouse, number 172. Despite its small size, it can zap even adult humans. However, if it does so, it also surprises itself.
It is not yet skilled at storing electricity. It may send out a jolt if amused or startled.
It is unskilled at storing electric power. Any kind of shock causes it to discharge energy spontaneously.
And the hatched Pichu is Pitcher.
Pikachu, Mouse, number 25. This intelligent Pokemon roasts hard berries with electricity to make them tender enough to eat.
When it is angered, it immediately discharges the energy stored in the pouches in its cheeks.
It raises its tail to check its surroundings. The tail is sometimes struck by lightning in this pose. My Pikachu I named Static.
I named my Pikachu Striker.
And in Crystal, it is Ka-chow.
Raichu, Mouse, number 26. If its electric pouches run empty, it raises its tail to gather electricity from the atmosphere.
If the electric pouches in its cheeks become fully charged, both ears will stand straight up.
When its electricity builds, its muscles are stimulated and it becomes more aggressive than usual.
Clefairy, Fairy, number 35. Its adorable behavior and cry make it highly popular. However, this cute Pokemon is rarely found.
The moonlight that it stores in the wings on its back apparently give it the ability to float in mid-air.
Though rarely seen, it becomes easier to spot, for some reason, on the night of a full moon.
Maybe because there's light outside?
Clefable, Fairy, number 36. With its acute hearing, it can pick up sounds from far away. It usually hides in quiet places.
Said to live in quiet, remote mountains, this type of fairy has a strong aversion to being seen.
Its very sensitive ears lets it distinguish distant sounds. As a result, it prefers quiet places. Don't we all a little bit?
It's like, this thing sounds autistic.
Please do not see me. Leave me alone. Diglett, Mole, number 50. It digs underground and chews on tree roots, sticking its head out only when the sun isn't bright.
If a Diglett digs through a field, it leaves the soil perfectly tilled and ideal for planting crops.
Diglett dig, Diglett dig, Diglett dig.
Trio, trio, trio.
Its skin is very thin. If it is exposed to light, its blood heats up, causing it to grow weak.
My Diglett I named Doug, but like spelled actually by the like the name, so there's an O in it.
Oh. Mine is Doom, but D-U-M-E.
And in Crystal, I named it Dirt Man. Put a little dirt under the pillow for the Dirt Man. Doug Trio, Mole, number 51. Extremely powerful, they can dig through even the hardest ground to a depth of over 60 miles.
Its three heads bob separately up and down to loosen the soil nearby, making it easier for it to burrow.
These Diglett triplets dig over 60 miles below sea level. No one knows what it's like underground.
Elekid, Electric, number 239. It rotates its arms to generate electricity, but it tires easily, so it charges up only a little bit.
It loves violent thunder. The space between its horns flickers bluish white when it charges energy.
Even in the most vicious storm, this Pokemon plays happily if thunder rumbles in the sky.
Electabuzz, Electric, number 125. When two Electabuzz touch, they control the electric currents to communicate their feelings.
Its body constantly discharges electricity. Getting close to it will make your hair stand on end.
Electricity runs across the surface of its body. In darkness, its entire body glows a whitish blue.
My Electabuzz is Zappy.
Mine is Lamp.
And in Crystal, it is Buzzer. Octillery, Jet, number 224. It instinctively sneaks into rocky holes. If it gets sleepy, it steals the nest of a fellow Octillery.
It traps enemies with its suction-cupped tentacles, then smashes them with its rock-hard head.
Its instinct is to bury itself in holes. It often steals the nesting holes of others to sleep in them. Which is exactly what you just said.
Seal, Sea Lion, number 86. Although it can't walk well on land, it is a graceful swimmer. It especially loves being in frigid seas.
The light blue fur that covers it keeps it protected against the cold. It loves iceberg-filled oceans.
In daytime, it is often found asleep on the seabed in shallow waters. Its nostrils close while it swims. My seal I named Jim Lee, like the X-Men artist.
My seal I named Deal.
And in Crystal, his name is Ding, so when he becomes a dugong, it's Ding Dong.
Dugong, sea lion number 87. It sleeps under shallow ocean waters during the day, then looks for food at night when it's cold.
It loves frigid seas with ice floes. It uses its long tail to change swimming direction quickly.
Its streamlined body has little drag in water. The colder the temperature, the friskier it gets. I'm feeling frisky.
Horsey, dragon, number 116. Its big, developed fins move rapidly, allowing it to swim backward while still facing forward.
If attacked by a larger enemy, it quickly swims to safety by adeptly controlling its dorsal fin.
When they're in a safe location, they can be seen playfully tangling their tails together.
My horsey I named Ace with an S instead of a C.
My horsey I named Sealy, S-E-A-L-L-Y.
Yep. And my crystals is named Vi.
Blissey, happiness, number 242. Anyone who takes even one bite of Blissey's egg becomes unfailingly caring and pleasant to everyone.
Biting into one of the delicious eggs that Blissey provides will make everyone around smile with joy.
It has a very compassionate nature. If it sees a sick Pokemon, it will nurse the sufferer back to health.
Omanyte. I always call them Omanities in my brain.
Sure.
But I know the song where they go, Omanyte. Don't they say it like that in the song?
Mm-hmm. So. You're probably talking about the poker rap or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Omanyte. Slowpoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Omanyte. Spiral. Number 138. In prehistoric times, it swam on the seafloor, eating plankton. Its fossils are sometimes found.
This Pokemon from ancient times is said to have navigated the sea by adeptly twisting its 10 tentacles.
Revived from an ancient fossil, this Pokemon uses air stored in its shell to sink and rise in water.
The hatched Omanyte is named Omen. Snorlax, sleeping, number 143. Its stomach digestive juices can dissolve any kind of poison. It can even eat things off the ground.
What sounds like its cry may actually be its snores, or the rumbling of its hungry belly.
This Pokemon's stomach is so strong, even eating mildly or rotten food will not affect it. Mildly or rotten? Wouldn't it be like mildly or completely rotten food?
Yeah, probably.
I question the grammar.
That might have been my fault. My Snorlax in silver is named Sumo.
Mine's named Yawn.
And it's Snowlax in crystal.
Raikou, thunder, number 243. The rain clouds it carries let it fire thunderbolts at will. They say that it descended with lightning.
This rough Pokemon stores energy inside its body, then sweeps across the land, shooting off electricity.
A Pokemon that races across the land while barking a cry that sounds like crashing thunder.
I just left my Raikou as Raikou because it's cool and they're legendary.
In Crystal, my Raikou is Kaminari.
Entei, volcano, number 244. This brawny Pokemon courses around the earth, spouting flames hotter than a volcano's magma.
A Pokemon that races across the land. It is said that one is born every time a new volcano appears.
Volcanoes erupt when it barks. Unable to restrain its extreme power, it races headlong around the land.
My Entei in silver is named Pyre. In crystal, my Entei is Inferno. Suicune, Aurora, number 245. This Pokemon races across the land. It is said that north winds will somehow blow whenever it appears.
Said to be the reincarnation of North Winds, it can instantly purify filthy, murky water.
This divine Pokemon blows around the world, always in search of a pure reservoir.
And then the Suicune is C. I did also catch a Suicune in silver named River.
Lugia, diving, number 249. It is said that it quietly spends its time deep at the bottom of the sea because its powers are too strong.
It has an incredible ability to calm raging storms. It is said that Lugia appears when storms start.
It is said to be the guardian of the seas. It is rumored to have been seen on the night of a storm. My Lugia in silver, I think I forgot to relook it up, but I think I named it Storm.
I named my Lugia Tsunami.
Yep. And in crystal, it's named Sea. No, that's wrong. It's named Gale.
Ho-Oh, Rainbow, number 250. It will reveal itself before a pure-hearted trainer by shining its bright rainbow-colored wings.
A legend says that its body glows in seven colors. A rainbow is said to form behind it when it flies.
Legends claim this Pokemon flies the world's skies continuously on its magnificent seven-colored wings.
My Ho-Oh is named Pontiac, as in like a Pontiac Firebird, because it's a fiery bird.
My Ho-Oh is Ho-Ho.
And in Crystal, I named it Phoenix. You know, a Firebird. All right, and so where is your Pokedex at, Ruby?
It says I've seen 239 and I own 212.
And in Crystal, I've also seen 239 but own 221. So all the same numbers, but rearranged a little. And in Silver, I have seen 240 and own 230.
I wonder which one you've seen that I haven't.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And those are our Pokedex entries. All right. And that was our journey through that leg of the game. Because of all the extra stuff we've done and how long that one took and how we had extra stuff the first time, we've only done one gym these both times. I'm not exactly sure if we'll be doing one or two gyms next time. There are a couple things I want to do in Johto that we haven't finished, like exploring the ruins of Alf. And I learned where Magmar was and we missed him, so we're going to go find him. So we'll be doing that as well as whatever gym we make it to, if not two gyms. So I'm not exactly sure what that episode will look like. And then I'm pretty confident that the one after that will be the conclusion of everything.
Everything.
But in between, we do have some anime and manga to cover in some episodes as well. But now that our Pokedex entries are done and our game coverage is done and we did fight our rival, it is time for Ruby and I to do another battle.
Spoiler alert, I'm gonna lose.
That's what you always say. Alright, since we unexpectedly met our rival in Mount Moon, Ruby and I need to battle again.
Unexpected.
I certainly didn't expect to find the rival in Mount Moon, no.
Okay, because maybe not in Mount Moon, but I expected to see him.
Yeah, it's Belle. Belle. Against Branch, my Jigglypuff.
Oh, dear.
Yay. Ah, you suck, you sleep powdered me. I was trying to sing at you.
I had a feeling. I was like, I hope I go first, because I wasn't sure, because you're one level higher. But I might be faster.
Vine whip. Ow. Ow. Wake up, Branch. Wake up!
It wasn't that much damage.
If I keep getting hit like that, it's going to be a plenty of damage. Ow.
You're only barely in the yellow.
I'm still sleeping. Yeah, and that was it. Three. Oh, a critical hit.
I had a feeling that one was critical after it.
Dang it.
Killed you.
Well, that didn't go well.
Yay! I don't know what you're talking about. That went, like, amazing.
Off to a great start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Ooh, I went first. Hypnosis.
That's not fair. I'm five levels higher. I don't like this.
I have a speedy Gengar, I guess.
I guess. Because I get, like, a little faster, but five levels? This seems unreasonable. Well, hello.
Yeah, I mean, look, just in case you were going to try to switch out.
Don't kill me.
I didn't do a whole lot to you.
Did like 40 damage.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding. I was at 4 and then I went at 88.
Yeah, that was still less damage than you did me with your first hit. So.
36. That's how much.
Or at least less percentage of health.
Stop hitting me.
Oh, that was even worse. All right. Not super strong against your bell.
I'm still like at half health. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're not even the yellow.
Don't have to be in the yellow to be at half health. Now I'm going to be in the yellow.
Darn straight.
One more hit and I'm dead.
I hope so.
Why won't you just wake up?
No, just like mine didn't wake up.
This is unfair.
This is what you just did to me.
Mm-hmm. Your Gengar was even like less levels than mine. I don't understand.
I have a hacked Gengar. No, I'm just kidding.
What's good against Ghost?
Dark and Ghost, and that's all I can think of. But he's also poison, so Psychic is also good against him, and so is Ground.
So 4 of my 5 Pokemon.
Perfect. Oh, jeez. Now we're gonna try.
I should go first. Yes.
You did.
I'm like 10 levels higher at this point. Oh, not 9. Quite.
Yeah, that's all she wrote for Gengar. See ya, Shade.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. I sent in Psychic, my Espeon.
Dear, what's good against Psychic?
Dark.
Ooh, I got one of those guys.
Bug. Ghost. If I could have gotten a ghost attack against your thing, it would have been helpful.
Mm-hmm. Wait, which thing?
Your Kadabra or Alakazam or whatever it was that was out there.
It was the Alakazam.
Yeah, I figured that was coming.
I'm higher level than you.
Oh, goody.
I didn't think that was gonna be the case.
Yeah, you spent a little bit of time leveling up.
I went through the Elite Four, I think, twice.
Yeah, well, it did some.
Hey, benefit. Why are you switching out?
What do you think I'm switching out for?
I said, why are you switching?
Yeah, why do you think I'm switching out? Duh, you did.
This is unfair. You should have kept your other Pokemon. I don't want
you switched out yours?
Well, that was a different case.
No, it wasn't, because I also had something that was good against you. Dang it.
Ooh, bite me too flinch.
Yeah, it has a chance. And there goes Leafy. This is not looking good. Umbreon was going to be the problem child again. I knew that, and I haven't.
Problem child? Ugh.
For me.
He's my precious Umbreon.
For me, it was going to be a problem.
I like Umbreon.
Yep. I don't think this battle's going in my favor this time around.
Are you doing this on purpose?
Nope.
I don't know.
I purposely didn't level up my stuff so that you could do yours at least.
But I thought you were like at level 70s.
No. What?
But your Pokemon were all at like 70.
No, I didn't win because I was a higher level than you. We were around the same level in a lot of them, and I think your Umbreon was already a higher level than some of my Pokemon before that. I think that was the last battle.
Interesting.
Jeez! The heck is that about? I mean, I know I'm quite a much lower level with my Dragonair, but still.
Down to the red sliver.
I got a hit in, at least.
Good job.
And another one, because I have extreme speed. And it was a critical hit that barely did anything.
Wow. And
there goes my Dragonair. Oh, no.
Where are your two Pokemon left? I only know one of them.
Well, you're going to know the other one. Barb, my Crobat. What?
What?
You were killing me. What's going on here?
I can't risk losing him until I defeat.
Sure.
And if you had confused me...
Confuse Ray!
I would have died, probably.
That would have given me a fighting chance, at least.
Exactly. Couldn't have that happening, now could we? Okay.
Hit yourself, Boulder.
No, no, no.
Yeah, you put it in your golem. Oh, rock throw, which is going to be super effective against my flying crawman.
I'm only 4 levels higher than you, though, so, like, it doesn't kill you.
No good. Not in one hit, anyway. Let's try a little leech life. It probably is not going to heal me enough.
Wow, I'm sure it's going to do so much damage. 5 whole damage! I'm shaking in my boots.
Hit yourself!
Yeah.
Dang it. Well, that's all she wrote, man. I only got 1 Pokemon left. And you have, what, 4? 5? 5. You still have 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I only took out 1. See, you did much better against me than when I won.
I think you're doing this on purpose.
I am so not!
I am not, like... I'm pretty sure you're losing.
I haven't leveled up these Pokemon because I keep putting in Flicker and stuff when I'm playing the game. So your Pokemon keep getting stronger, but only a couple of my Pokemon do. Because I can't bring Flicker and I can't bring Bolt.
I guess that's fair. I thought you should win. I still don't know about you not doing this.
I swear that I am not. I would tell you if I was at this point, child.
Okay.
Ooh, that did better. That bite. Ooh, is that a... That's a critical hit.
Well, you took like 100 health.
Yeah, well, it was a higher level, and I got a crit, so that was helpful. And you still haven't actually confused and hit yourself to finish yourself off. Not fair. Alright, took out Boulder. Good, nope. I at least took out 1 more Pokemon. Wait, I didn't take you out with that?
It only did 6.
Well,
look,
finally,
I hurt myself.
That's all. That's why I didn't want to finish you off so that you could finish you.
I see.
That way, you still have taken out most of the Pokemon, and I've only taken on 1. And Umbreon's back.
I didn't want you getting any hits on Umbreon, so I had to switch him in.
Yep. Let's see.
I didn't want to switch him in so you could hit him. I just had to let Boulder die. Probably would have been fine. Quick attack.
Yep. I don't know what else to do. Super effective bite. I don't even know what this move does, but I don't really have a chance at this point, so let me see. Oh, it does do what I was hoping it did. Woo! Morning Sun. Healed myself just so you could take it all back off again.
You didn't heal yourself enough, though.
No.
Slowly but surely, I'm still gonna kill you.
Yep, so it's just a waste of time. Oh, Psychic doesn't even touch.
Sometimes when it says doesn't affect, it just means that it missed. I've had that before.
That's for like sleep and stuff. It's not for... I think they're immune to psychic. Well, that was fun for me. I lost a lot worse than you've lost.
I guess.
All right. Well, it's a good thing the next time we fight, I'll probably be able to level some stuff up. Because we're getting close to the end game. We only have, I think, a couple more routes before we're finished with the game.
Oh, my.
All right, well, congratulations. You finally beat me in this stupid game I don't want to play anymore.
Why don't you want to play anymore?
Because you beat me. It was only fun when I won.
How dare you?
I'm just kidding. Congratulations, though. That was awesome.
Yay.
I wish I could have put up a better fight. I need to change out some strategies. You figured out what to do against me.
Did I? I had to ask you if what was effective.
Yeah, I know. I felt like lying to you or not telling you.
That would just be cruel.
All right. Well, and now we've done everything, so it is time for Pokemon cards!
Yay!
All right, so what do we want? More black and white or some Team Rocket?
Probably black and white, unless you want to save those.
Let's go ahead and do black and white again, but this time we'll switch which colors we did.
Okie dokie, artichokey.
All right, this time I am opening Black Bolt.
And I'm opening White Flash.
You go first again.
Okay. First Pokemon, Yamask, Psychic. Ooh, it took its mask off in this picture.
Ooh.
Each of them carries a mask that used to be its face when it was human. Sometimes they look at it and cry.
Creepy.
Sad. I feel bad for them. They need a hug.
Boldore evolves from Roggenrola. Fighting. When it overflows with power, the orange crystal on its body glows. It looks for underground water in caves. Pignite evolves from Tepig. Fire. When its internal fire flares up, its movements grow sharper and faster. When in trouble, it emits smoke. Duwat evolves from Oshawott. Water. Strict training is how it learns its flowing double scallop technique. Mandibuzz evolves from Vullaby.
Hey, I got that last week.
Ability, look for prey. Once during your turn, you may use your ability. Your opponent reveals their hand, and you put a basic Pokemon with 70 HP or less that you find there onto your opponent's bench. It makes a nest out of bones it finds. It grabs weakened prey in its talons and hauls it to its nest of bones. Supporter Trainer, Tool Scraper. Choose up to two Pokemon tools attached to Pokemon, yours or your opponent's, and discard them.
Scraping them off.
Swanna evolves from Ducklet. Water. Swanna starts to dance at dusk. The one dancing in the middle is the leader of the flock. Pansear, Fire. Reverse Holo. When it's angered, the temperature of its head tuft reaches 600 Fahrenheit. It uses its tuft to roast berries. Ooh. Trubbish, rare, dark.
Full or extended art. I don't know which one it is. Inhaling the gas they belch will make you sleep for a week. They prefer unsanitary places. Look at that.
That's really pretty.
Daddy even just stole trash. My card.
Well, I gotta take a picture.
Rude.
That wasn't even my rare. My rare is Samurott. It'll evolve from my Duwat. Water, ability, torrential whirlpool. Once during your turn, you may switch your active Pokemon with one of your benched Pokemon. If you do, switch out your opponent's active Pokemon to the bench. Your opponent chooses the new active Pokemon. One swing of the sword incorporated in its armor can fell an opponent. A simple glare from one of them quiets everybody.
Cool. You'll get that Pokemon eventually.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Oshawott. It's evolution, so whatever game Oshawott is in.
Fighting energy.
Actually, Oshawott. I think that might even be Black and White.
That would probably make sense because it's in the Black and White.
That doesn't matter. It's Scarlet and Violet, White Flare, Black Bolt, so it's all weird. All right. My first Pokemon is Munna, Psychic type. Munna always float in the air. People whose dreams are eaten by them forget what the dream had been about.
Oh, I thought it was almost like a hopes and dreams, but it's just like dream.
Yeah, Dream Eater. Dwebble, Fighting type. This Pokemon can easily melt holes in hard rocks with a liquid secreted from its mouth. Panpour, Water type. The water stored inside the tuft on its head is full of nutrients. Plants that receive its water grow large. Pansage, so the grass version of those little monkeys. This Pokemon dwells deep in the forest. Eating a leaf from its head whisks weariness away as if by magic. I need to keep one of those around. Professor's Research, Professor Juniper. I don't know which one she's from, but yeah, that's just another Professor Research card. Escavalier, Metal type, evolves from Karrablast. I think you got that last week. Alomomola, Water type. Ability, Gentle Fin. Once during your turn, if this Pokemon is in the active spot, you may put a basic Pokemon with 70 HP or less from your discard pile onto your bench. The special membrane enveloping Alomomola has the ability to heal wounds. My first reverse holo is a Maractus, grass type. It uses an up-tempo song and dance to drive away the bird Pokemon that prey on its flower seeds. My next reverse holo is a supporter trainer card, Fennel. Heal 40 damage from each of your Pokemon.
Lovely.
She is lovely.
Hey, stop staring at other women.
And my rare is Landorus, Fighting type.
Lands visited by Landorus grant such beautiful crops that it has been hailed as the guardian of the fields. And then I got a metal energy card, which has also got the foil to it that my dark one did last week.
Nice.
So I'm getting some shiny, fancy energy cards. All right. And that's our episode. So, Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. So wherever you do find us, please comment. Tell us how cool we are.
Well, tell us how cool I am.
Tell us how cool Ruby is and how I put you to sleep with my dulcet tones.
And say how annoying that is.
And say how annoying I am. Anyway, so like, subscribe, rate, review, do all that fun stuff so people can find us. And if you want, you can also find us on YouTube at our Hunterfield Institute channel. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlists. And if you're looking for specific types of episodes, whether the game-related or the anime coverage and stuff like that, I have separated those into other playlists, so you can look around and check that out. You can also find us at our Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon. On Instagram, I'm Kinetic_card, and on X, I am Hunterfield Inns. And there I post like our Who's That Pokemon segments, as well as announcements of the next episodes and things like that. So you can always follow that stuff if you like. And if you want to reach out to us, you can email us at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com with any questions, comments, concerns, encouragements, whatever you got. These last 2 weeks have been coverage of the game as we've taken on the next two Kanto gyms. So we are now at 14 out of 16 badges of the whole game. We're closing in on the finale. And next week we will have coverage of like 8 anime episodes, I believe. Then we'll do another game episode, and then we will have the final volume of the manga and the last two episodes of the Johto anime seasons. And then the episode after that is our complete wrap-up to the Johto era of Generation 2.
It's the final countdown.
And then following... and then following that, we will be having a special, as I cover some other games, and those couple specials will probably take us through the end of the year, and after that, Ruby and I begin our journey in the Hoenn region, in the anime, the manga, and Pokemon Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. But that won't be the only thing we're covering as we go through those, or at least not me. So stay tuned and look forward to that. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye. Sayonara. Part 53. A ghastly sight. Murasaki's eyes were wide with shock and fear. The puppet woman across from him had thrown her face into battle with his Oddish. A face? His trip into Pokemon Tower had been odd from the start and had set him ill at ease. The movements of the overseers on the second floor had not helped. And then a woman threw her face. The boy blinked a few times to make sure he was seeing correctly. The woman still had a face. In fact, it was back to the normal, aged face he had seen a moment ago before the large-eyed, fanged face emerged. Looking back down to where Stunner, his Oddish, faced off against the face Pokemon, Murasaki realized it wasn't a face at all. It was a ghastly. The revelation didn't clear up everything, but being able to identify the things that seemed horrific and unnatural to be something more common did offer some relief.
All right,
Murasaki said to himself, adjusting to his new circumstances.
I hadn't expected to be thrown into a trainer battle with those looking after the graves here at Pokemon Tower. But, hey, Stunner and I could use the practice, especially battling Ghastly.
Looking down at Stunner, Murasaki noticed the leaves atop its head quiver a little.
He got the impression the little Pokemon was feeling nervous being confronted by a ghost Pokemon.
It's all right, buddy. You stood your ground against a fire Pokemon. A little gas bubble shouldn't bother you.
The Oddish glanced back at his trainer, and Murasaki thought it looked a little skeptical. But then it turned back to face the Ghastly, stretched out its leaves toward the ghost Pokemon, and nothing happened.
What are you doing? You know you don't know Stun Spore yet.
Taking the opportunity Murasaki's Pokemon gave to it, the Ghastly floated right by the Oddish and ran its tongue across the grass Pokemon's face. Murasaki scrunched his face in disgust.
Ew.
The Oddish slumped down, disliking the interaction.
It's all right, Stunner. Shake it off and launch that seed thing you did before.
Stunner straightened up, shook off what it could of Ghastly saliva, and then launched a seed at the ghost. At first, to Murasaki's horror, the seed went straight through the Ghastly, but then he noticed it hadn't fallen out the other side. A moment later, vines protruded from the ghost and started to wrap around it, leeching its life.
Way to go, buddy!
Annoyed, the ghost glared at the little plant, and an eerie light began to shine in its eyes.
Quick, dig in deep, or whatever it was you did before.
The commands came too late. The eerie light in Ghastly's eyes burst out in a beam straight toward the Oddish, and missed. Oddish started rooting itself to the ground to draw energy from the earth, only the earth was a little farther away, seeing as they were on the second floor. Once again, the light charged up in Ghastly's eyes, and it shot it at Stunner again while the Oddish continued to search for earth to root into. This time, the beam struck Oddish, and he was suddenly unsteady on his feet, and he went cross-eyed.
Okay, just start absorbing.
Oddish aimed its leafy top toward the Ghastly, and then whipped them hard, straight down into its own face. Stunner stumbled backward from the strike.
Oh, great. That must have been Ghastly's confused ray.
Swooping in on its wounded opponent, the Ghastly licked the Oddish again. The grass Pokemon, having already fallen over, started rolling across the floor where it stopped at Murasaki's feet. The poor thing looked battered and humiliated.
Oh man, I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't mean for this to happen.
The Ghastly had flown around the Overseer with glee after its latest lick, but then it turned its attention back to the Oddish, and there was a menacing twinkle in its eye. Then it charged forward, aiming straight for Stunner, clearly intending to finish it off.
Oh no, you don't.
Murasaki thrust the Pokeball forward.
Stunner, return!
Just before the Ghastly and its tongue collided with the Oddish, the grass Pokemon vanished in a beam of light and returned to its Pokeball. Annoyed at its prey being stolen away, the Ghastly floated up to be eye level with Murasaki. The boy had never seen anyone or anything look at him the way the ghost was staring at him in that moment. Fury was the word Murasaki settled on to describe the Ghastly's expression.
Sorry!
Murasaki squeaked, fearing what the ghost Pokemon might do.
I couldn't just let you kill my Pokemon, you know?
It didn't seem the Ghastly did know, or maybe it just didn't care. Either way, it came screaming right for Murasaki's face. To be continued.